Welcome to our service for the 17th Sunday after Trinity. Perhaps the first thing I should say is that after today I'll be away for a fortnight, so there'll be no online service for the next 2 weeks. Meanwhile today, in today's New Testament reading, St. Paul writes, "Therefore God also highly exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We begin with the hymn based on those words. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Time of confession. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. There is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them to the penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us and set us free from sin, Strengthen us in goodness and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 17th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself, and so bring us at last to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Let the treacherous be disappointed in their schemes. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in his way. He guides the humble in doing right and teaches his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Here ends the reading.
The reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Here endeth the lesson.
Tongue can bid me thence depart.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The American composer John Cage is most famous, or most notorious, depending on your point of view, for the composition 4:33, sometimes called 4 minutes 33 seconds. The piece comprises three movements in which, so far as one can tell, nothing happens. There are just 4 minutes 33 seconds of silence. It's said that Cage once gave a lecture which was followed by questions, and when after the lecture a question came from the floor about the meaning of the piece, Cage responded just with a series of incomprehensible sounds. He believed that music didn't have to mean anything. It was just another kind of sound. To ask what it meant was the wrong question. In our gospel reading today, we hear one of the many occasions when people came to Jesus with a question, trying to pin him down or trying to catch him out. Usually, rather than answer the question, he shows them that they are asking the wrong question. And that's what happens here. Yesterday, he entered the temple like a whirlwind and drove out the money changers who were turning faith into a mere transaction. He ministered instead to the real needs of the lame and the blind who flocked to him in the temple so that he could heal them. Then he went away. Today he has come to the temple again, but the temple authorities are ready for him this time. As he quite often tells them, it is they who are really blind. Confronted with the evidence of God doing wonders in their midst, all they can think about is the threat to their own authority and prestige. By what authority are you doing these things, they ask him, and who gave you this authority? On another such occasion, when the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus with an honest question from John, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another?" Jesus simply tells them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me." What he is doing speaks for itself. It is the wonderful grace of God moving in mercy to the afflicted. It doesn't need any further interpretation. And the idea that there could be some other authority behind it than the authority of God is nonsensical. As the psalmist says, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes." Jesus makes clear to the chief priests and the elders with a simple question that the question they are asking is the wrong one. He echoes what they are asking him. Where do they think John the Baptist got his authority from? The obvious answer, in the ministry of John, as in the ministry of Jesus, is that the things John says and does speak for themselves, and everybody knows it. All regard John as a prophet, the chief priests and elders mutter to each other, and it's true. Everyone does regard John as a prophet, for the simple reason that a prophet is what he transparently is, calling to the people to repent as the great prophets of their history had done over so many centuries. They are forced to answer Jesus' question, "We don't know," and their opposition is silenced. "Even after you saw it," he challenges them. Even after they saw a ministry which had turned the hearts and minds of the people to the Lord in a way which they themselves had never been able to achieve. "Even after you saw it," he says, "you did not change your minds and believe him." Authority has a part to play in any religion, but it is never the essence of the thing. And religious authority, untouched by grace and understanding, can do more damage than mere secularism or atheism. There are, thankfully, many beautiful moments in today's readings, which tell us what our faith is really about. "Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your love," says the writer of today's psalm, Psalm 25. And again, "All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." And the beginning of our epistle reading, from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the congregation to which, of all of them, he seems most deeply attached. He writes, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." You could spend quite a few 4 minutes 33 seconds of silence just thinking about any one of the qualities of the Christian faith which the Apostle touches on here. Encouragement, consolation, compassion, sharing, sympathy, joy, unity, and love. What perhaps we might notice about all of them is that they are relational. They are things you can't really do on your own. There is a place for solitude as well as for silence in our Christian discipleship. But its most authentic expression will always be in our relationships with each other people, in the encouragement we offer each other, in the sympathy we share, in the joy of our togetherness. Paul writes, and we have already sung, that Jesus will be given the highest authority, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, that only because he has been willing to give up all claim to his status and authority in the first place. He poured himself out and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Ultimately, his authority came simply from his willingness to do exactly that, to live and die for the blind, the lame, the lepers, and the lost. In short, for you and me. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. It's time now for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Entadr hynoedion yn yfoedd sancteddiad y enw, deled y dirnas gwneled y wychlis, megis yn enef ddechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dynon ni heddiw ein barf ein yddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn i ni ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwen ni brofedigaeth, eich gwared ni thrag drwg, canis aeth y tŷ o'r dirnas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Father, we continue to pray for Bishop Joanna, recently retired, for restoration of health and restoration of happiness in her retirement in Cornwall. We pray for her family. We pray for those with responsibility in a few weeks' time for meeting to select a new bishop for St. David's, for wisdom and good sense. We pray for those who bear the burden of the operation of the diocese meantime, for all the archdeacons and most especially for our archdeacon Aileen. We pray for our area dean John, for our assistant clergy, for Judith and Father Dylan, and we remember David Tizard and Trevor Copeland as they in their retirement recover from ill health. We remember before you all the lay people who do so much to keep the worship of our churches alive, those who lead worship, those who play music, those who read lessons and lead prayers, those who simply keep our churches tidy and well decorated, clean and in order. We thank you for them, and we pray your blessing on their work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for the people of Ukraine, of Libya, of Morocco, of Hawaii, so many places where we see man-made and natural disaster and the difficulty of helping those who are in trouble. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, for those who have lost houses and livelihoods, for those who are trying to help them. We pray especially for all those who work for peace and for all those who work to help us understand the damage we are doing to the environment and how we can best turn it round. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our local communities, from Newquay and Llanina in the north to Pembrin and Tresaith in the south, all along the coast. We pray for the many farms and farmers. We remember those whose livelihood depends on the tourist industry. We pray for all those who work in caring professions, and we pray for all those who work to keep us safe, especially for the members of the lifeboat crews and for the Coast Guard. We pray for our police officers and firemen and women, especially our volunteer firefighters. And we thank you for all that they do and all that they risk to keep us safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those known to us who are in need of prayer by reason of illness or any other trouble at present, those from our churches, those in our families and amongst our friends, those in our wider community of neighbours. We pray, Lord, that you would be near them and uphold them, bless them and keep them. We pray especially for carers, for those who support those who are in trouble, and we pray that you would be near to them also. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the lives of those who have gone before us, those we have loved, those whose witness to Christ has strengthened our own walk of faith. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home, rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home, rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.